welcome to WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arcan. That's Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. We got a packed show for you. We'll be talking with Ross Tucker in about a half hour. We'll be talking with the great Rob Bradford in about 2.5 hours. We'll be talking to you all throughout at 617-779-7937. You just heard a rookie quarterback balling out last night.
No.
In Cincinnati. By the name of Jaden Daniels, who had a phenomenal game and led the Commanders to their second win now on the young season and sent the Bengals back to the showers, still winless, as are the Jaguars, the other team that lost last night, to a high-powered Buffalo Bills team. As let's just start there, Andy, the Monday Night Football. I wasn't expecting a ton of drama here, but what I saw, I think, was pretty big statements by both the Buffalo Bills and the Commanders. Let's start with Washington. I know Buffalo's in division, but I feel like the Washington game was a little bit more pertinent to the Patriots situation right now. I don't think the Patriots are catching the Bills no matter what. I'd say that race is probably already over. But in terms of what the Commanders did last night, the way that they've brought Jaden Daniels along, the way that, you know, it's been three games and all of a sudden he kind of comes alive against the Bengals team now that cannot get out of its own way. What were your main takeaways from the Commanders' win, which, again, was not as close as it seemed against the Bengals?
So there was my takeaway that was similar to the other day watching Malik Nabers. Terry McLaurin's really good, and I don't think people give him enough credit for he's a number one NFL receiver who's been dealing with crap at quarterback for a while now.
Yep.
I think he might, if Jaden Daniels is for real, I think Terry McLaurin might blow up into what he really can. I just said it to Jones because Jones was like, is he really a number one? Yeah, I think he's a 1,000-yard receiver that could become a 1,500-yard receiver when he has an elite quarterback. And that's what you drafted number two overall to get. Now, obviously, there's the jumping-off point. I dove into this because sometimes I do this just to sort of chum the waters on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I tweeted, if Bryce Young and Caleb Williams running around or getting benched are cautionary tales, then what are we going to call Bo Nix and now Jaden Daniels? Bo Nix got a big win. And I know these are one-offs, and I'm doing the cherry-picking recency. It's what we do in
it's
radio.
What we have to. It's only 3 weeks into the season. We got to analyze it.
So what is that? And I got what I expected. He's like 30 years old and played college forever. He's got 55 college starts, which is a fact. He played a long time. But
Van Wilder didn't go to college that long.
He's still a young NFL quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and he still could get broken. In fact, the one black mark against his pre-draft resume was super skinny, and he doesn't get down necessarily. Like, he takes hits when he runs. He puts himself in too much danger.
Did he not get measured? Was he one of the guys that didn't get measured? Marvin Harrison didn't get measured. Some guys wouldn't even stand on the scale.
He wouldn't stand on a scale. I think he then did it, like, on his pro day, when clearly he must have bulked up, because he wouldn't run a 40 at his pro day.
He had, like, a muscle suit on.
Well, something. Yeah, no, it was very weird, because there were people saying he might be weighing, like, 178 pounds or something. Like, there was all these rumors floating around it, how skinny he was.
He's listed at 6'4", 210.
I don't think he's that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he's 190, maybe.
Okay.
But no, like, he went out there, and he had one of the greatest games you'll ever see. I think it was the highest completion percentage or whatever Lisa Salters was telling him post-game.
91.3 completion percentage.
Also, and I don't say this is in any offensive way, just like a note, didn't know he was like a God guy. He pulled the Tim Tebow. I think he had three answers, and all three he had to give the glory to God in every answer.
I missed that.
I didn't know that.
I bet you Joe Mazzulla liked that. I didn't hear him doing that.
But, and again, I'm not throwing barbs.
It's the NFL. A lot of guys are like that in the NFL.
It's true.
Very, very.
Do they have Bible study in other sports?
I don't know.
Because NFL teams all have Bible study multiple times a week and all have chapel on the road. Like, you go to pregame
team
chapel.
Prayer? Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah.
Do all sports do that? Do the Celtics do that? The Bruins do that?
Couldn't tell you.
I don't think they do.
I bet you
they don't.
I have no idea.
Why is religion so tied into football and
question.
Republicans? 617-77.
God, football, and
MAGA.
The GOP.
Make the NFL great again, Trump.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. I watched Jaden Daniels last night like everybody else. Very impressive. A very, very impressive game. A breakout kind of game. His first two games, I didn't think were horrible, but they were kind of feeling your way through the NFL kind of games. You know, against Tampa, they lost that game, and he had under 200 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He ran around a lot, and that was it. And then I remember after that, his coach coming out and saying, we can't have him running that much. He ran a little bit less in the next week, threw for a little bit more yards against the Giants. They beat him. And then this is clearly a step up from that. Now, the completion percentage against the Giants was almost 80%. So we're not talking about a guy who just suddenly started hitting his targets. He's been pretty accurate in all three of these games. And for a running quarterback, sometimes you don't expect that. You expect the more athletic design run quarterbacks to be a little bit more errant throwing. You know, that's not their main thing. They're mostly runners. They're mostly athletes. Accuracy is sort of, that's the way we sort of characterize guys like that. In general, I think. It happened with Josh Allen. It's happened with lots of guys. And I think that in this case, he's immediately showing you he's more like Lamar Jackson. Because Jackson was a guy who ran around and had a very high completion percentage, but didn't throw the ball that much. He threw the ball 23 times last night. Not a ton, but he was so efficient, so accurate. And the Bengals, I mean, Burrow couldn't keep up with him. That tells you all I need to know right there.
And 21 completions is good.
Yeah.
So if you went 21 of 28, let's say, 29, like somewhere in there, be a good day for a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He only needed 23 throws, so like he didn't have to throw it as much. It's also the offense, and I know a lot of people pushed back with, yeah, they got a good offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know. The guy in the Bengals was mocking it, mocking the offense beforehand, which his head coach afterwards said, yeah, we'd appreciate you don't do that. You know, it's not what we do around here.
Right.
And I know the Bengals defensively were banged up. Their defensive line is sort of decimated. Their ends are banged up. Like, they're okay, whatever. You're dealing with injuries. That's just the NFL. You got to figure out a way. Now, I don't want to jump to Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback. Like,
best rookie quarterback?
Yeah, in that, or even just of the top three.
He's the one I thought would have the best year. I thought he would have the best rookie year.
Why?
Coming into the season, because I thought he had the best college year last year. He seemed like he was coming off the best season out of the top three guys.
Oh, the hottest. Yeah, that's
right.
That's
like,
accurate. 100%.
At LSU, he was the Heisman Trophy winner. Yep. Like, I just sort of figured, all right, this guy's got a lot more momentum coming into the NFL than either Williams or May do, because I thought both of them took a bit of a step back. We talked about this. I thought they both took a bit of a step back in the year they got drafted. Now, that's not to say that they can't develop into something more than that, but in terms of being league ready and coming off a really, really strong performance in his last year in college, which eventually he's got to graduate, I thought Jaden Daniels was going to probably have the best impact, even on a Washington team that I didn't feel great about. I liked him, you know? I liked how he played. I thought he was the best out of the group in terms of the season that they had, and so I was expecting that. But that's not to say he's a better prospect going forward, and you're right. He's so skinny, he could be an injury risk, which was a big problem and a reason why I didn't even want to get measured at the combine.
And the thing that I loved about my little sampling and taking the temperature of Patriot Nation reacting to Jaden Daniels, what he did. Oh, he's more experienced. Oh, so you want to play May?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not ready. Well, how's he going to get experienced? He can't go back to college and transfer and get 55 starts. He's already given up his eligibility. He is a professional quarterback. So most fans
go play with the Alouettes up in Montreal.
No, I don't want that either.
No,
because you can get hurt there too, and that's what most fans fear.
The USFL.
I don't want that either.
I mean, he'd dominate
NFL
the
Europe.
USFL.
He'd be good in NFL Europe.
NFL Europe does not exist anymore.
No, it doesn't. But if it did, he would win the MVP. I bet.
Remember in Madden, you could use the NFL Europe teams.
Yeah, Rhine Fire and all those teams over there.
The Dragons.
No, but I like people explaining why Drake May can't play. Almost gave me the reason why Drake May should play. Mm-hmm. You're saying experience is the reason Jaden Daniels is better.
Right.
How do you get experience without experience? I believe their head coach, Gerard Mayo, said football players get better at playing football by playing football.
He did.
Okay.
He did say that, but the offensive coordinator said something else. They don't all agree.
Why does he get to decide it?
I don't know, but they don't all agree. That's all I can tell you is they do not all agree.
A first-time offensive coordinator.
He said that Brissett's going to be the quarterback until I say he's not anymore.
Yeah.
But if he wants him to be the quarterback now, he can do that. It seems like Alex Van Pelt is the one who's all about the idea of, hey, you learn by watching, you don't learn by playing.
Should he have that say?
If they want to make him the quarterback guy, then sure. I mean, listen.
I mean, he's the most qualified. Well, I don't even know if he's the most qualified on staff.
He's more qualified than Gerard Mayo.
But is he as qualified as Ben McAdoo?
Probably not. McAdoo got a nice year out of Eli Manning at the end there. I mean, McAdoo actually did something.
Alex Van Pelt is a first-time coordinator who, I know you love to throw it out. What choice was he, 12th, 13th?
12th or 13th.
So
something along those
he
lines.
He was your 13th choice, and he's a first-time offensive coordinator running his own system, and he unilaterally gets to decide? Or are we blaming Alex Van Pelt, and is it really Elliot Wolf who hired Alex Van Pelt. Does Elliot Wolf have the final say as to when Drake May plays?
It's an Elliot. It has Elliot Wolf's fingerprints on it, more so than it does Gerard Mayo's, right?
Because if you remember, Gerard Mayo said, and I'm going to try to quote this accurately.
Okay.
I'd like to think, as the head coach, I decide who plays. I believe that was the quote. We can effort to go back and get that. That was in late August, just before the season. I'd like to think that as the head coach, I decide who plays. And it struck me at the time, and it strikes me now as we figure out who's deciding when Drake May plays. Because everybody agrees, everybody seems to agree that Drake May needs more reps, right? Lewis Riddick, who is the smartest man on TV at analyzing football. Just ask him. Lewis Riddick, after one of the preseason games, was like, reps are his friend. He needs reps right now.
Right.
You can't get reps if you don't take reps. Right?
Right.
I don't want to be like overly logical here, but the only way to get
reps
is to play.
Just put it on a t-shirt and sell it down there at a Gillette Stadium. Yeah.
It's
can't get reps if you don't get reps.
Even these people that are defending him not playing. Why is Daniels playing? Well, he's played more.
Right.
He has more experience.
How do you get that?
How do I get experience then? it's a circular argument or logic that I don't really understand. Everybody agrees that Drake May needs reps.
Right.
Nobody wants to play him.
But you still want to wait another week.
Yeah. I'm not throwing him to the wolves this week.
I am.
Is it really the difference between
out there
58 reps this week against the Niners? Can wait.
Well, I think you got to start the clock at some point here. And I also I was thinking about this yesterday. He's just as likely to make mistakes against the Dolphins as he is the San Francisco 49ers, right? Like, are we to assume that he's going to go out there with Jalen Ramsey in that secondary and just be totally good and not going to have any interceptions, not going to turn the ball over at all, not make a mistake against the Dolphins? So then what the hell's the difference if he goes against the Niners or the Dolphins?
He'll be at home.
So?
He'll be going against a lesser offense.
Yeah, that awesome home field advantage you have at Gillette these days.
He'll be going against, is it the only offense in football that scored fewer points than you?
No, he scored the same amount of points.
No, they've scored 33 points, right?
Oh, and Tone, I thought you meant this past week.
The Dolphins scored 33 points this season. You've scored 39. So it's going against a team that you average 13 points a game. They average 11.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a winnable matchup for you against Tim Boyle or whoever the hell else they bring in. Right? Like, it's a softer landing spot. Remember when they opened Gillette Stadium and they had a Revs game first and they called it a soft opening because they wanted to, like, test the toilets concession stands and not have, like, 68,000 people?
How'd those toilets do, by the way?
I think they did fine
they did
this time. Yeah, it was Foxborough that had the issues back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
This is a soft opening for Drake May. The softest of opening right now. I mean, I guess you could argue maybe a softer one is against the Jags in Europe. Because then you're, like, away from everything. It's just, it's almost like an exhibition.
I guess.
It doesn't even feel like a real game. And that Jags team stinks.
They do suck.
I had some good responses last night. I tweeted out that bad news is Pats got killed Thursday. Good news is they face the Jags in a couple weeks. And they all, a lot of people responded, maybe the Jags are saying, good news is we face the Patriots in
a couple
weeks.
That's exactly what they're saying. And listen, I mean, not for nothing, but the Patriots this year are going to be like,
you're good, the get right?
Good for what ails you. They're going to be like the slump busters, I fear, this season. That's what you're going to be looking
what
at.
What if two slump busters go at it?
I don't know. Something's got to give, I guess. But I think the Patriots are a little bit on the lower side of that. The rookie quarterbacks now, all three of them have at least one pretty good game under their belt. I know Williams didn't win this game this past weekend, but he did have a good performance. He threw for 260-something yards. He did have the interceptions, but he did throw for two touchdowns.
He's
Bo
living.
Nicks
he
had
survived.
A very good game. He's alive. That's
right.
Another important
aspect.
Because
I hear
aspect,
if you play a rookie who's not ready behind a bad line, he's going to die immediately.
And he's been getting rocked. I mean, let's not act like Caleb Williams.
So did Drake.
Exactly.
So is Brissett.
Mm-hmm.
So are, and we're going to get into that, lines kind of stink. There's a more bad lines than there are good lines.
Around the league, it's true.
Around the NFL.
Well, ask Ross Tucker about that.
If you don't want to get rocked, to use your phrase, probably go into a different line of work. Don't be an NFL quarterback right now because there's not enough good lines to protect you. You're not just going to stand back there like Peyton Manning, never get touched, and when the one guy rushes, you throw it into the ground.
508 says, Arcan, baseball has chapel time. A new low for you. Bleep on God. Get out, you condescending, I don't think I can say this next word, of misery.
Does he think that was me or you?
I don't know. I wasn't.
Arcand, you God-hater.
I don't think I said anything about God.
Why do you hate God?
Don't remember doing that, but okay. He's not wrong about the rest of it, but I don't think I said anything about God. Either way, thanks.
Why does religion matter? Why even bring it up, said the 774.
Well, you brought it up. You tell me.
No, Jaden Daniels brought it up.
Jaden Daniels brought it up. That's true. He was very...
So I was just echoing him bringing it up.
Yeah, and I was the one saying that that's very common in the NFL, so I don't really see who gets offended. But there's that famous Catholic sense of humor you're always hearing about on the text line right now. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Rookie quarterbacks now all have a good game, or at least a game where it didn't look like they were totally out of their depth under their belt, except for Drake May. I'm talking about the ones who are playing right now, and I guess you could say Penix either. He hasn't started a game yet either, but you don't assume Penix is considerably better than Kirk Cousins at this point, you know, even though Cousins hasn't been great. That's a guy that they made a big financial commitment to. It's a different situation, but either way, those are the situations right now. How about the rookie head coaches? You look down at these rookie head coaches, and here's another one now. 3-0 is one of them in Seattle. That's a pretty good start there for a rookie head coach. And I think that looking around the league, you know, Mayo, this is something that with the Tennessee Titans going 0-3, you at 1-2, and other teams doing considerably better with their new coach in a new spot. This is going to end up being a referendum that ties all the way around with Mayo at the front of it. You know, like you're the head coach of this team, and there's other rookie head coaches out there doing their best. And they're doing better than you. And what are you going to do about it? Like that eventually, I think, is going to come to pass here, because there's already several coaches who I think are considerably further ahead than he is.
But I think that's why Mayo has tried to emphasize the multi-year status of what they're doing.
Right.
We're going to win games. I don't know if it's this year or next year, but we're going to win games, right? That's the priority. And I think he smartly has done that. The owner has backed him up in that, with the quotes about rough waters and I don't know how many games we're going to win and those types of things. But you're right. Everybody's going to keep score. Like, you can tell people this is a multi-year plan, but if you're 1-4, 1-5, 1-6, and there's other guys out there, defensive guys also, Mike McDonald is going to be a measuring stick.
Yep.
You could have beat him. You didn't. Everybody was comparing their sort of mirror image standings coming into week two. You lost. He's rolling. Now, my guess is he has some down times coming. He probably has a losing streak of a few games that gets them back to 500. I've also won a bigger picture. Evaluating coaches in the NFL is almost becoming NBA-like. Where
How so?
It's tougher and, like,
it's
doesn't
tougher to see what they're doing.
But also the level to which you're confident that guy's a good coach. It's like, well, if he's winning, is he a good coach? Well, Nick Sirianni went to the Super Bowl and he's become a boob pretty swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Taylor went to the Super Bowl and it feels like he's on the edge of becoming a boob and replaceable. These guys are on the Bill Watch list that we did yesterday, and they were in the Super Bowl recently. Like, how Mike Tomlin is a guy that I say good coach. Sean McDermott was on the hot seat. He was on the Bill Watch until he's now 3-0, and he's got Josh Allen back, and Joe Brady's leading the offense, and they're rolling, right? Like, it just feels like the NBA, where you win Coach of the Year and 12 months later, 14 months later, you're fired, feels like the NFL is Stefanski.
Yeah.
Hasn't he had two Coach of the Years in the last 4 years?
He sure has.
And they're a mess in Cleveland. So I think the days—
It's when you outperform horrible expectations.
Right.
Like, if Mayo got this team to 8-9 this year, he might be up for Coach of the Year.
Oh, he would be.
You know?
He absolutely would
be. I don't think he'd
be.
Win it, but he'd be up for it. He'd
but
get votes.
My
sure.
point is, there are just so seemingly few stable, you say, sure as hell, that guy's a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick. Like, some of them have aged out. But even before, you know, Bill Cowers, now we have...
And Pete Carroll wasn't like that at first.
No.
He had a long career. The beginning of his career wasn't like that at all.
Now we have, I mean, Andy Reid is the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have Tomlin, who a lot of people sort of undersold, but are finally begrudgingly, I think, saying, that guy's a pretty damn good coach.
Yeah.
You have Harbaugh for longevity. But there's a lot of other guys. Kevin O'Connell. I've anointed him a good coach. I feel like in 2 years I could be saying, well, the Vikings fired Kevin O'Connell
right.
for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
I just, the stability, longevity, the sureness with which we say that guy's a good football coach, I feel like right now there's not a lot of them.
Yeah, there's not. I think also, depending on the situation, you're more or less likely as a head coach to get scapegoated for a bad season, depending on what sort of situation you're in. Like, if it's a team with all the starters underperforming, well, it's all the starters are underperforming, you're going to get the blame for it. Mm-hmm. If it's a big injury at quarterback or their star receiver's out or they have to mix and match and do all sorts of stuff, then the expectations are low enough then. And that's where I think Mayo is. I don't think Mayo is at a good starting point, but you got to outperform that. You know, like you still have to outperform that to be considered a good coach. The Seahawks were not a bad team last year, but now they look like one of the best teams in the league. And that's because, you know, you got the same players for the most part. You didn't really change all that much. They didn't have some big sweeping changes there on that roster. They got a good coach, and they have a good message, and that defensive scheme seems to be working.
You know what I would like to bet on, and I don't even know if this is possible? Who will have a better record, the 3-0 Seahawks or the 0-3 Bengals? Because I would like to take the Bengals, and I think I could get some juice.
Yeah.
Can you set that up and find that for me somewhere on an app? Is that like a thing?
I don't know how I would do that. I think you have to meet someone face-to-face for a bet like that. Yeah. I think you'd have to...
Stiz, you know anybody?
Stiz definitely knows somebody.
I may know a guy.
Stiz knows lots of
guys. Felt like you would.
It doesn't matter what you need. Stiz knows a guy.
That's why I'm a big Stiz fan.
That's for sure. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we will talk with Ross Tucker, Odyssey Sports, get his take on the lack of offensive line play so far in the NFL. The NFL through 3 weeks and more. It's coming up next here, right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox still mathematically in it after beating the Blue Jays 4-1 last night in Toronto. They'll run it back again tonight. First pitch at 7:07 across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Our coverage will begin at 6:07 with the Mass Mutual pregame show. Brian Bayo will take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox remain 3.5 games behind in that final wild card spot. And there is some good news. Fangraphs currently gives them a 0.3 chance to make the playoffs. So you're saying there's a chance. Patriots have the day off today. They will be back on the practice field tomorrow as they continue to get ready for their week 3 game against the 49ers. Kickoff for that game will be at 4:05 from Levi Stadium. Monday Night Football doubleheader last night. The Commanders beat the Bengals 38-33. Jaden Daniels goes 21 for 23, 254 yards and 2 touchdowns. And the Bills stomped the Jags 47-10 with Josh Allen going 23 for 30, 263 yards and 4 tutties. The Bruins will play their second preseason game tonight. They will host the Capitals. Puck drops from the Garden at 7 p.m. Trending brought to you by the Massachusetts Health Connector. For every double the Red Sox hit, we will donate $50 to the American Diabetes Association, brought to you in part by the Massachusetts Health Connector. If you need health insurance, go to mahealthconnector.org and find the right plan for you and your family. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More of the afternoon shows coming up.
It's Gerard Mayo. His team continues to search for their identity. We're joined by Ross Tucker here momentarily, Odyssey Sports. If I could get the read for him in here, that'd be great as well. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. The identity that they're searching for.
Yeah.
Where do you think that search ends? How does this wind up? What is going to be the identity of this team by the time we get to the end of the season?
A team whose offensive line is the fatal flaw that derails their run-first approach offensively, ruins any chances they have of fabricating a passing game, and a defense that gets worn down and frustrated because they're on the field all the time and not as good as people thought they were coming into the season.
Cool.
That sounds like on a t-shirt?
That sounds like a great identity to have, honestly. That
no,
sounds
it's not
like
great.
A very, very strong one.
Well, I was just thinking, they've added questions to their identity as opposed to answering them 3 weeks into the season. The tackling issue.
Yes.
The way the defense struggled.
What
in
we
situational
thought was their identity's
right,
changed.
Gone.
Yes.
And the running back, who you want to ride the hell out of until he's hurt, dropped the football and has fumbled in 3 straight games. So not only have you not added answers like, oh, we found a passing game, or, oh, we found a left tackle that's going to solve all our problems, I think some of the things you thought you were going to hang your hat on are not working the way you expected them to work.
All right, joining us right now on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Ross Tucker, how you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty awesome. I just got home a little bit ago from Buffalo, and it's nice to be back.
and talking with you guys.
Are you in shape? Because I feel like there's not enough offensive linemen to go around. I may be speaking for Patriots fans, but I may be speaking for fans in other cities. Why do offensive lines look so poor to start the season?
It's so funny that you say that, because I'm literally walking up and down my driveway while I talk to you guys.
There you go.
I'm trying to get in shape, but a different shape than you're talking about. That's for sure. This is a much longer conversation, but I would tell you a few things. Number one is they just don't get as much practice time at any level as we used to. And in college, the college game is just built so much on being up tempo and getting as many plays in it as you can, that I guess on some level you would think that the more snaps would be more reps, so more practice. But the ball is out so quick. I mean, there's plays in college where nobody blocks anybody and they still get yards, so it just doesn't seem like there's as much straight drop back passing. It's just a different game. And then I think it's one of the reasons why in the NFL you see offenses struggling sort of in general and people putting that on the offensive line. So let's talk about that, right? That's important.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, offensive football requires a lot of time. I mean, cohesion, chemistry, continuity. If one guy screws up on a play, on offense, the play's dead, right? Like, that guy makes the tackle or there's a penalty or whatever. One guy can screw up on defense, and a lot of times some other guy kills the quarterback or whatever, right? So, but offense, all 11 guys need to not only do their job, but they need to be on the same page with the other guys doing their jobs. That's a big part of it. And with every passing year, as you guys know, the guys get less and less practice reps and less preseason time, if any, because the premium is placed on making sure that they're healthy for the opener, and that's fine. The other thing is, and this only started 3 or 4 years ago, I think, but when you talk to defensive coordinators and even head coaches, the book is out in the NFL. All of the analytics guys, all of the data tells you the two things that most determine the outcome of games are turnovers, which we all knew like forever, right?
Yep.
And explosive plays. So now, it used to be like, I'm telling you guys, every Wednesday during my career, the D coordinator would say, we're going to stop the run, we're going to make them one-dimensional, and then we're going to rush the passer. Like that was the speech, right? Yep. Well, they kind of figured out now that stopping the run isn't the most important thing. It's one reason why you see a bunch of guys having big games on the ground. That's not the priority. The priority for defensive coaches is to not give up explosive plays, to play a lot of two deep safety looks, mm-hmm. three deep safeties, quarters, whatever. So what does that mean, right? That means that you're not going to be able to throw the ball down the field as much. And I think that has led to quarterbacks kind of holding the ball a little bit more too, right? They're kind of waiting to see if something can open up down the field, get a bigger chunk play. It doesn't. So then they get kind of swallowed up. So I think all those things are all factors. They also, by the way, have done a much better job of trying to make sure in every passing situation that either they've got 4 or 5 legit rushers out there, or that they've done a nice job figuring out how to attack, the offensive line's protection. Like I'm doing Browns Raiders on Sunday for CBS, and I was watching the Browns Giants tape. The Giants sacked Deshaun Watson 8 times.
Yeah,
the Browns looked like they had never picked up a stunt, twist, or blitz in their life. I mean, it was painful to watch.
We're talking with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross, while we're on the subject of the offensive line, a lot of Patriots fans think that that's the reason why they shouldn't put Drake May in, because the offensive line can't protect him. They should stick with Jacoby Brissett until the O-line can sort of figure itself out. Do you agree with that, especially after seeing Jaden Daniels and what he did last night behind a considerably, but about equally bad offensive line?
It's such a great question. I don't know that there's necessarily a right answer to it. I do think there's a lot of funny aspects of it, right? Like, can you imagine, like, think about what they're saying when they say they shouldn't play Drake May because the offensive line's not good enough. I mean, it's a huge indictment of anybody involved in personnel with the New England Patriots over the last 3 years. I mean, think about that. Like, the O-line's so bad that we can't put in the guy we just took with a third overall pick in the draft. It's an indictment of the O-line coach. It's certainly an indictment of those players. That probably makes them feel awesome. Hey, they don't even play this guy because we suck so much.
Yeah.
And then how does Jacoby Brissett feel about that? Oh, okay, cool. So I'm just like the sacrificial lamb. I'm the guy that goes out there to get the crap beat out of me. And the answer to all those things is kind of yeah. I mean, that is kind of where we're at with them right now. I mean, I saw what happened with Jacoby the other night. That was ugly. And at least with him, the thought process is he's such a vet, been around so much, that he can get rid of the ball, knows when to throw it away, those type of things. You know, I saw Alex Smith talk about this passionately on Sunday. I do think you can ruin young quarterbacks. And I understand the mindset where it's like, well, if getting hit a lot or throwing picks would ruin them early anyway, then they weren't the guy. And I get that. But if you think about it, there aren't that many guys that really, really took serious lumps as rookies that kind of come back. I mean, Troy Aikman is one. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning's another. But I do think on some level, it ruins a bunch of guys. You know, I think Bryce Young, that was partially the case with him. And so David, I think Carr. I think there's a happy medium there for sure. Because you definitely want to get Drake May some time this year. I just don't know. I don't know what week that is or when they'll know when it's time. Because my whole argument to that is like, okay, do they think like 3 weeks from now, Vidarian Lowe is going to be an All-Pro? What's going to change? I guess the hope is that they'll settle on a five and that those guys will be working in concert well enough with each other that then they'll be able to put May in. I don't know. I mean, they're already suffering injuries or having guys walk out in the team that they already have. I don't know when it's gonna magically get better is the thing I would say.
It won't. That's why I think they should just play him in a week from now against the Dolphins at Gillette Stadium and move forward with it, because as the head coach says, to get better at playing football, you have to play football. Question for you, Ross, though, is 3 weeks into the season too early to talk about hot seats with NFL coaches? Because it seems like there might be some places, I don't know, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, two places we saw last night that are 0-3, where coaches are probably, maybe Dallas, under fire, and you also have that extra layer this offseason of Bill Belichick watching from afar and analyzing every move for every team.
Yeah, so number one, no, I don't think it is anymore for the NFL week three. I don't think that is too early. I mean, especially, you know, it didn't used to ever be this way, where you felt like if you made a move, maybe you could salvage the season. I don't know if they necessarily feel that way or not, but you know, if there are guys that came in to the season in sort of a bad spot and then have really bad starts, I think that those organizations will strongly consider it. I mean, I did that game last night for Westwood One, and that was an embarrassment. I mean, the Jags are 0-2. I thought they would come in, you know, trying to make a statement, Monday Night Football, to show that, you know, they could do something this year and that they believed in their coach. That was a total no-show by the Jags last night. And if you're a fan of their team, they've now lost 8 games in a row. You have to be so, so frustrated. I love Doug Peterson personally. I do think he's a good football coach. I don't really know what's going on there. Some of it has to do with, at times, who do you have that would be the interim or the next guy? But, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's too early. I think, you know, you get to a point where once the fan base is fed up, or once you feel like this is not something that this guy is going to be able to come back from, what are you waiting for? I've been on a number of teams where the coach got fired at the end of the year, and when you know it's coming, which was like my second year with Dave Campo and my third year with Greg Williams, it's really uncomfortable. You know, it's really kind of awkward for everybody involved when you kind of know that the guy's a dead man walking.
All right, we'll leave it right there. It's Ross Tucker joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll talk to you next week, Ross. Thanks.
Sounds great. See you guys.
All right. Thanks. Ross Tucker joining us here. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. You just heard him talking about Josh Allen and the Bills right there. Can anybody beat that team? We'll discuss next. It was an avalanche last night. Josh Allen bringing the heat to the Jacksonville Jaguars and not really ever letting up. Can anyone beat this Buffalo team? No one has yet. And everyone who's tried has gotten pretty well stomped. I mean, this has not been a couple of... The first game against the Cardinals, they had to come back in that game. They still put up 34 points. 31 last week against the Dolphins and 47 last night against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Buffalo Bills, despite losing all these players on defense, despite losing their top two pass catchers on offense, seem to be as good as ever and have a big primetime game this coming week against the Baltimore Ravens. They got the Texans and Jets after that. Three tough games right there. But right now, you gotta call it how it is. The Bills look like the team to beat in the AFC right now next to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'd call them 1-1A, and if you look at the odds now, it seems like a lot of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes MVP futures are neck and neck as far as that's concerned. And that's the reason why. I mean, he's been awesome this year.
And Patriots fans have seen that Josh Allen. I was almost wondering, because they had some stat that came up like first time in, or second time in 30 years that they've scored a touchdown on their first 5 possessions. I was like, was one of those Patriots games? Remember there was that...
Where they didn't punt for two straight games?
Christmas and then the playoff game, and you combined, there was like one punt in it or whatever.
That was like the best... That was the best stretch of Buffalo Bills football, to them anyway, yes. I'd say, probably in the last 20 years. Like, you know, like that's about as good as it ever got for
and,
Buffalo
And now
Bills.
They have to get over the hump.
Yeah.
You know, they're a Super Bowl contender because they have... I think you're starting to see him... Sort of it's Mahomes is the unquestioned king, right? He's the top of the pile. And then I feel like, is it becoming unquestioned that Josh Allen is number two? And then we get into the Lamar debate and the Burrow debate.
Well, Lamar was the MVP last year, so I wouldn't say necessarily that he's usurped yet, but Allen's off
close.
To a much better start.
I'm a Josh Allen guy.
Yeah.
And I had a very positive takeaway from that. Very, very positive from watching last night. That's the plan to winning. Drake May is supposed to be Josh Allen. He doesn't have great weapons, does he?
He's
got a bunch of guys.
No, he doesn't.
He's got a bunch of guys that run around, and he picks which one he wants to hit. Nobody is a stud. You know, I know the Kincaid is a first-round pick. Maybe he's going to develop into something, whatever. But if you hit on Drake May, all of these receivers we bitch about will get better. And I would even argue all these offensive linemen that we bitch about will get better because Josh Allen runs and scrambles and does what he needs to do physically.
Yep.
So the comparisons to Josh Allen for Drake May should be a sign of hope for Patriots fans that might feel a little hopeless right now.
Yeah, Khalil Shakir is their leading receiver with 168 yards in 3 games. That's not, you know, I mean, that's 56 yards a game. There's nobody who's really tearing it up over there right
now. In New England, that's a lifetime.
In New England, that's Jerry Rice. But yes, in the rest of the league, that's really not that special or impressive or anything else. It's because they're running a real offense, and it's because they have a guy under center. And by the way, a very good offensive line. That Buffalo offensive line is strong.
Good.
They're
stout.
They got guys all along it, and for the most part, they've been pretty healthy so far. So I think that has something to do with it too. Great quarterback helps in lots and lots of ways. But you got to protect them. I mean, you do have to be able to protect your asset. which so the, Buffalo Bills are doing.
I give you an option right now. Mm-hmm. You have a little magic wand. You're the genie. You can make the Patriots offensive line Bills-like, or you can make Drake May, Josh Allen. Which are you doing?
I make Drake May, Josh Allen.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
Much more.
I just wanted to make sure we're on the same
absolutely
page.
It is, but I think that there's that's not a coincidence that you have a strong offensive line there, and that's allowing the quarterback, even with less weapons and less playmakers, which he does have, fewer of those than he had before, certainly the last couple of years.
That's what great quarterbacks have to do. That's the ebb and flow and the evolution of great quarterbacks. A lot of times you have good receivers, and then, uh-oh, we can't pay everybody. You got your 50 or 60 million. Tyreek Hill is going away. Stephon Diggs is going away. Also, there's the air of addition by subtraction.
Right.
Getting rid of him. And I also think it puts a stress on defenses. He no longer has to feed Stephon Diggs. He no longer has to play that game with Stephon Diggs. Defenses don't know where he's going.
True. All right, let's go to the phones here before we take a break. 617-779-7937. Our good friend Steve in Fall River wants to talk about our QBGM conversation. Go ahead, Steve.
Mahomes is one in the quarterback world. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen's 1A. If you change their teams, if they flip teams, Josh Allen is number one. Mahomes is 1A. It's because of the organization and Andy Reid that is in Kansas City that has given Mahomes the one versus Allen taking the 1A. As far as, and I wanted to do a thing. If you go back for the last 20 years, I'm going to tell you right now, Andy Reid's the greatest in the 2000s. And there's one reason he isn't, you're going to tell me he's not.
The 2000s?
Because he doesn't have the champ. Yeah, the 2000s. In the last 24 years, he is the most successful in my mind. And you're going to tell me he's not because he has three less titles than Bill Belichick.
In the 2000s, he didn't have any championships.
No, I mean, this decade.
From
how
2000.
About
oh, from 2000. Okay, I thought you meant from 2000, 2010. That's what the 2000s are.
No,
all right,
no.
Right.
In the 2000s.
Okay.
He doesn't have one because he played Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and he lost in the last few minutes with a lesser quarterback.
Right, we remember.
Tom Brady defeated him. He also didn't go to a Super Bowl in 2018 to play the St. Louis or the L.A. Rams because Tom Brady defeated.
Right.
He didn't win a Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because Tom Brady defeated him.
That's true. All right, Steve, we're up against the break here, but I think I know what you're getting at. I still would put Belichick ahead of him. I mean, you just, you know, come on.
I would put Bill ahead. I think the gap is
very small. He's catching up. That's true.
But
he lost all those games. Like you're saying, well, he lost to Tom Brady. Yeah, he lost to Tom Brady.
But see, I don't just put it on Super Bowls. The fact that he went to three straight NFC title games and a Super Bowl with Donovan McNabb, and then the fact that he was a playoff winner with Aaron, Smith. Smith.
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. Yeah. And now he gets the GOAT. So it's the reverse of Belichick. He didn't have the GOAT. And he still won. Didn't win Super Bowls, but just because you didn't win the Super Bowl didn't mean you didn't win. He did the reverse. Belichick, without Brady, hasn't found any success.
True.
He hasn't been to NFC or AFC title games. He hasn't been sniffing Super Bowl victories.
Played one playoff game and got the crap kicked out of him by Josh Allen.
So if you go by the totality of the information, then Andy Reid is very close to Bill Belichick. I think there is a strong argument there. As for the comparison to the Bills... Mm-hmm. I think Josh Allen right now looks like Joe Brady and he fit together.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to look like. We know these things can change quickly. A month, 2 months later, the wheels fall off. That's where there's that consistent longevity between Mahomes and Reed. They're not going to be idiots. They're not going to be fighting each other in a month or a year. Mm-hmm. They're going to work together until Andy Reid says, I'm too old to do this anymore and walks away. Like, they're going to be stable. I'm not quite ready to say Josh Allen and Joe Brady are just stable as can be in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll see. But, I mean, it seems like he's going to be one of those quarterbacks who's going to be able to figure it out. You know, like,
well, I just think he can do so much so well. Yes, I think he is the Band-Aid. Is that what they used to call Brady? He was the ultimate Band-Aid. He fixed everything.
Yeah.
I think Josh Allen is becoming – I don't think Sean McDermott's a great coach. I don't think they have a great roster. I think the only thing that's great in Buffalo is Josh Allen.
Yeah, looks that way. And so far, they're undefeated. All right, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Today is Celtics Media Day. Our own Justin Turpin was down there earlier. We'll get some sound from Brad Stevens. Talk about the reigning champions and ask, as Brad Stevens was asked, Can they repeat as champions? We'll dive into that next.